email plays a role in the Martha Stewart trial, as it did in the Frank Quattrone trial, as it does in a suit filed against the newspaper publisher Conrad Black. It is so common we can imagine an electronic voice inside a computer saying, "You've got evidence." We wondered whether the law is keeping pace with this contemporary means of communication, so we've called upon Jonathan Zittrain, who is assistant professor at Harvard Law School and co-director there of the Berkman Center for Internet and Society. Professor Zittrain, first, is any piece of email that I send or receive admissible evidence?
Well, it could potentially be. Copies are typically retained by both the sender and the recipient, making it something of a gold mine for somebody wanting to trace the trail of some particular thread of evidence related to a case. They might come in because they've been sent using an account offered by someone's employer, and you could see the employer cooperating with an investigation, and recipients might cooperate as well. Of course, in the absence of cooperation, they'd have to get a warrant or a subpoena, and if they've got probable cause, email can be a target just like anything else.
So is each of us then running the equivalent of his own wiretap when we send and receive email?
Well, as a technical matter, it is interesting that we are going to the trouble of retaining our own documents automatically without anybody, say, in the classic sense, having to sit outside in a donut truck and put alligator clips to the phone and make their own recording. So, yes, I think people could be taken by surprise. They will send things by email that they would never utter in a meeting or otherwise commit to paper. The Rodney King case even had instances in which the officers who beat him sent over their squad car email systems quite incriminating messages that, again, they would never have uttered in public.
You think that's because this is such an informal means of communication that it is remarkably close to conversation?
Yes, absolutely. People will send an email with a much lower threshold, first to even initiate communication. They'll send it to people they've never met when they would never have tried to pick up the phone and call or maybe send a letter. And with people they do know, they'll make it as if it's just an informal conversation. The Microsoft case is a great example of this. A number of emails that the senders may have regretted sending in retrospect that come out during the discovery process.
I mean, I just want to understand this, so that something incriminating that I might have once upon a time just told a colleague, but now which I would foolishly, in my case, send that colleague in an email, in the past would have required testimony from my colleague to verify. But now you don't even need my colleague's participation in this. You can come by it otherwise.
Yes, so long as there's some way of getting to your own computer's records and you haven't gone to the trouble of scrubbing your outbox or, respectively, against your colleague's wishes, going to his or her inbox or other filing system, then, yeah, you've got the email there and can make some hay out of it. And it would, in a way, be a shame, given what emails within the corporate and personal context, what an archive they can make of the life of a person, of a company, such insight into it that one can imagine legions of historians poring over later to get insight into topics of interest, to imagine people starting to treat email as if it were being issued at a news conference would, in a form, be a shame. It'd be too bad to lose the kind of informality that we've come to appreciate about it.
Well, Jonathan Zittrain, thank you very much for talking with us about email as evidence. Jonathan Zittrain of Harvard Law School is co-director there of the Berkman Center for Internet and Society.